AI Data Bytes powered by Tenodo. Welcome back to AI Data Bytes. I'm your host Neha, and today we are digging into what it really takes to move AI from the experimentation phase to real business impact. Because here's the shift we are seeing. It's no longer just about generating insights, it's about building systems that can act. Systems powered by AI agents, conversational interfaces, and enterprise knowledge. But none of that works without one thing: data that is connected, understood, and governed at scale. So today, we are going to break that down across three critical layers: how organizations unlock unstructured data, how they scale AI agents without creating chaos, and how they build trust into conversational AI. So we've moved past the AI experimentation phase. But today, the conversation is about something much bigger: creating systems that can actually act, decide, and drive business outcomes. But here is the reality check. Scaling AI isn't just about picking a better model. It's about whether that AI can find the right data, understand its context, and stay within the necessary guardrails. Many initiatives are stalling right now because their data is fragmented and untrusted at scale. So we are here to lead the way on how the latest innovations are helping organizations build a trusted data foundation. And joining me for this conversation today to challenge the status quo is Kevin Bohan, Director of Product Marketing here at Tenodo. Kevin, welcome to the show. I'm really excited to have this conversation with you today.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited for the conversation as well.
Wonderful. So my first question for you, Kevin, is organizations are sitting on gold mines of unstructured data, you know, like documents, emails, images, but it's, you know, notoriously underutilized. So what exactly has been holding enterprises back from using this data effectively in their AI initiatives?
Sure. So, I mean, for years now, people have been leveraging the data lakes, moving information into that environment. But the reality is, even though the data is residing with inside of the lakes, a lot of that data is not necessarily easy accessible. It sits with inside of the, I'll call it the silo within the lake of that particular source of information. So they still have a problem, even though it might physically be all located near one another, that it's still broken up and separated by silos, and it's disconnected from how people can access it. To access it, you typically have to put a request into the data team. They have to rework it, ELT type process, and then basically get that information out to somebody who can use it. Also, there's been gaps in the proper way of governing and securing that, putting the proper controls in place so only the right people get access to the information that's contained within a particular data set within inside of the lake. And then the complexity ends up being that there's different tools that are required to deal with this type of information versus the information that's coming out of the data warehouses. The data lake houses are becoming more popular because the attempt is to merge all of this together, but there's still complexity around that. What Tenodo has done recently to help simplify that is what we've done is we've added vector search as one of the capabilities of the Tenodo platform. So if information, this unstructured data, is put within inside of a vector database, we can combine that with the structured data sources to make it much easier, a simplified approach to allow the users to get access to that data and to treat it just like any other data source that we've been able to provide access to for years.
Very interesting. Thank you for sharing, Kevin. So you're saying this underutilization of data is basically an integration and trust problem, right?
Yes, it is. It's a bit of a trust scenario, but also it's about how do you get at the information. So unless you make it simplified and make it so users are able to explore and be able to do standard type queries to be able to leverage the information, it's going to be something that's going to continue to be underutilized. So it's a combination of trust, but also providing that simplicity so that people can get access to it. They can see that information sitting alongside of other sources of information they need that helps build that confidence, helps build that trust. Another important part of building that trust is showing where the information's coming from. If a user has the lineage and they see that the responses are coming back by a combination of some structured information they may have had inside of a CRM system or a database, along with some information that's coming from a PDF or an image, and they're able to see that lineage and see where it's coming from, that builds that confidence and trust. A key for having success is, you know, the users, once they're provided with the information, having the confidence to rely on it to make decisions, to take actions. But also, what's important is the ability to also build this into a consistent workflow. So you're not necessarily having separate workflows to deal with unstructured data and a different workflow to deal with the structured data, but allowing a consistent workflow that's going to not only make it easier, but it's going to end up improving the accuracy coming back from the prompts that the users are putting in. The accuracy is going to be better, and then that's going to drive confidence and trust and all of that. So it's an interwoven thing between accessibility and trust.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense, Kevin. Thank you for sharing. And I can see how unifying this unstructured data with our traditional structured data then has a business impact for organizations in terms of managing their AI initiatives. And this actually brings me to my next question. So moving to the second layer, that is AI agents, many teams start by hard coding agents directly to data sources. It works in a pilot, but what happens when you try to scale that point-to-point approach? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. It's interesting. You know, we seem to keep on coming up with new technologies and falling back to old approaches. As you start to scale, it exponentially grows in complexity because you have lots of different integration points. It also makes the systems more rigid. If there's a change to one of the underlying data sources, it could have a rippling effect to what agents it's going to necessarily impact, because if your data source is changing, anyone who's consuming that data is going to have potential issues. So if you're building this logic with inside of each agent, you're creating a redundant work, you're creating a more rigid system, and you're exponentially creating complexity for the managing of that system going forward. Also, there's an underlying problem with that, because now the logic, if across the board it was 100% consistent, you're going to have not necessarily that bad of a scenario, but that's going to be incredibly unlikely. And what happens is the way the interpretation was done, what data sources they were going to use, all of these decisions being made at each particular agent being created, or, you know, each application being created, is going to create a problem of consistency. And now you have that problem that we've been living with in the data and analytics space for a long time, where, you know, one department doesn't agree with another department because the numbers are inconsistent, and that creates problems. And it just creates a problem of really truly being able to scale. If you don't have a consistent way to access data, regardless of where it is, a consistent way of presenting that data in the terms and, language of the business, then you're going to have different responses coming back, which is going to erode that topic we were just talking around confidence and trust and the ability to really take action on the information being provided by these systems. So you're going to basically create a problem around scale and also introduce additional risk by having those issues that I just spoke about. So it is creating a significant problem for companies when they're trying to scale. And this is where you see some of those stats, whether you believe the MIT one of 95% of the projects aren't showing success or value, or other stats of similar, well over the 50% of organizations not being successful moving things into production. They work fine in the lab. They work fine with a small group of people, but as you bring it out further, they start running into problems. And that's really underlying a lot of the things we just spoke about.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So it sounds like standardizing the handshake between agents and data is the real secret here. So what is the impact of having a consistent governed access layer for all AI agents?
There was two parts to the question there, and I liked it, both questions, but mm-hmm. I think they're a little bit different. A standard handshake is an important part, and there's protocols like MCP that are becoming very popular. But the handshake alone in a standard way, a standard interface for these tools that the AI builders are using to access data is only part of the scenario. If what you're doing is standing up a different MCP server for every data source you have, you're not necessarily going to get the value that you really should from having that standard handshake, that standard interface, because the MCP protocols really only having a standard way that those tools that are building the applications can communicate and access data. But that second part of, or that second question you have, is really where value is going to be delivered to an organization. If you have a standard data access layer that provides consistent semantics, consistent context, and that's properly governed and controlled and put in the proper guardrails, so only the appropriate information shared with the appropriate people when they're using that, and now you expose that standard information via a standard way, that's when you have true value. That's when you're able to build at separation between the AI builders and the data that's needed for them to be successful. The reason you want that separation is it gives you that ability to have AI builders focus on what they're looking to do with inside of their agents, what inside of the applications that they're building. But they don't have to worry about all of those things we've been talking around the security and the proper semantics and all of those things. If there's a standard interface, they can basically focus on what they're doing. You can get greater agility, greater ability to innovate and drive things forward. I was reading some information from IDC, the analysts from IDC, and they were talking about people that are adopting this the data product mindset, where you have reusable, you know, data products that are packaging up to provide specific information about specific business use cases, business value drivers. Those people are being much more successful in adopting AI and agentic AI. So that's really important. It's not just a consistent interface. MCP is not only the answer. You need a combination of a consistent way to communicate and get access to the data, so these tools are all able to access it, but also a common data access point that allows you to get access to all these different sources. And you put that together, and then you're going to get that true agility to drive the innovation that we're really looking to do.
Right. Thanks for sharing, Kevin. So we've spoken about how organizations unlock unstructured data, and we've also spoken about scaling AI agents without creating chaos till now. So now, coming to the final part, the third layer, conversational AI. So we've seen a lot of hype, but as we discussed, trust still remains a barrier. So what changes when conversational AI is built directly on top of governed enterprise-wide data?
Sure. It really is the underpinning of the ability to provide trust. If you have that common access point that's going to provide the common semantics so everyone's using the same terminology. There's a shared understanding of what a customer means, a shared understanding of what different sales regions or product definitions or what things are of top customers or what churn means, all these types of things. If there's no consistency in that, you're going to basically have different responses coming back, and you undermine that whole ability for trust. So this shared layer that provides that consistency and also provides consistency in the governance around the data, all of that is going to be what's important to drive that trust. And as you know, we for the past several years have been offering tools that would allow organizations to embed chatbots with inside of their different applications, different agents that they're building. And that's been tremendously powerful. We have quite a number of customers that are doing just that right now. What we also did more recently is we've added a chatbot-like experience with inside of our marketplace. So it's helpful for data consumers that are looking to come and just get the answers to the questions they want. So it'll be an experience like you would get from using a tool like ChatGPT, but it's over enterprise data. It's across all the data that's available within the organization. So they're getting context-rich responses from the system of enterprise data. But it's also tremendously helpful for those that are doing more within the platform. So they can be asking questions like, what data products are available that will help me address this type of question? And they'll be presented with a few different choices and with explanations. This one might be the one best suited for that particular response, but we also have these other ones. You can ask a whole variety of things to simplify some of the traditional things that would be done by an engineer. So it's lowering the bar of what's required for someone to be successfully doing different actions with inside of the marketplace. And we're seeing some real positive response from the market with these tools. We continue to drive to try to simplify and lower the bar so more people are empowered to do what they need to do with the data within the organization in a controlled and trusted way. So it's very, very interesting time to see what our customers are able to do with these new capabilities that we're offering.
Definitely. Thank you, Kevin, here for building such a strong technical base for this conversation. Taking a step back and taking a look at this from an executive point of view, like if an executive is looking at it, thinking about this, what is the big takeaway for them for scaling AI across a business?
Ooh, shifting gears with it, got on me a little bit there. I would say something that I think a lot of people overlook, and quite frankly, to their demise, I think in many respects, is there's a lot of focus now on what model are you going to use, how efficient are the models, but a lot of hidden costs are being driven not by the model they're using or the infrastructure they're running it on or those types of things, but by not having a strong data foundation, you end up spending a lot of additional money, a lot of additional resources that you wouldn't normally need to if you took the time to establish a strong data foundation. And let me explain that in a little further. And I often in conversations, I refer to this as sort of like a data tax if you don't have a strong data foundation. So the way to think about this is, if you have a prompt come in and the LLMs have to first do a lot of work to determine what's going to be the best source of information for me to answer this question, then they're going to have to go out and pull the information in from various sources. They're going to have to join that information together so it makes sense. They're going to have to deal with some issues around the semantics that are used in the different tables that they pulled the information from. They're going to have to spend some mental energy converting that to the language that was related to the prompt. All of that takes additional API calls, consumes additional credits, requires some additional redos by the LLM saying, nope, that wasn't sufficient in answering the question, and they have to do additional work. All of that drives up cost for every single prompt that's coming in. It really is a cost prohibitive environment if you're going to basically try to implement your AI on a foundation that's not ready for it. And that's the conversation that's often had around AI-ready data, but people think of it from a simplified point of view. And if they start taking a step back and understanding what some of those inefficiencies in their data architecture will drive from a standpoint of how an LLM is going to be successful in responding to a prompt, you're going to see that it's going to require a lot of additional work, 20, 30, 40% additional work in many cases. And you do that for every prompt. That's where that whole concept of what I mentioned earlier of like the data tax. If you don't have that strong data foundation, you're going to be paying additional for everything you do around AI. So it is very important that organizations understand that and they take the proper steps up front. And if they don't, you know, it not only will be some of those things we talked around the, you know, confidence and trust and potential exposure to risk, but you're also going to be paying an additional for it. And we see customers when they do get their arms around having a strong data foundation in place, presenting the information in a way that'll be consumable and understandable by the LLMs, that they significantly reduce the cost of the things they're doing around AI.
For sure. Thank you. Thank you for sharing, Kevin. And as you highlighted, it's true that scaling AI isn't just a model problem. Rather, it's a data foundation problem that not only impacts the cost, but also affects efficiency and business value as well for organizations. And if we want the AI to function effectively, it is important that we build a trusted data foundation for it to function properly. So it was a great session and a very informative session indeed, Kevin. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. And I'll be happy to come back anytime.
Glad to hear. Thank you, Kevin. And to our listeners, the show has a new look and our mission has expanded. We are here to cut through the noise and define the new standard for how the modern enterprise handles its most valuable asset. We are not just watching the evolution of AI, we are building the data architecture that makes it possible. You can find more resources on unstructured data and AI agents on our website. And lastly, if you enjoyed this episode, please head over to denodo.com/podcast for more resources on all things data.